We'd like to ask our children to come forward for our children's moments. Please be advised that the men's prayer breakfast is being moved from this coming Sunday to the following Sunday. So if you show up early for something to eat, you'll be hungry. All right. Who had the box for us this morning? Or the bag? What am I talking about? All right. Let's see what we got here. Now, what are the three rules of the bag again? Do you remember? Can't be alive. It's not alive, is it? Okay. It can't used to be alive. Didn't used to be alive yet. And if I don't know what it is, you have to tell me what it is, right? Oh, okay. A fake snake. I'm so glad that this is a fake snake and it did not used to be alive. What kind of snake is it, do you know? It looks like a king cobra to me. But I'm just an amateur snakeologist, so I'm not really sure. Well, it's interesting that this is in there. The passage that we're looking at later today is in Isaiah. And it talks about when God comes and creates a new heaven and a new earth, and how the wolf and the lamb will lay down together, the lions will eat hay like the oxen, and the snake will eat continually the dust of the earth. And we're reminded of the story of Genesis, how the serpent came and tempted and tricked Adam and Eve and told them to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they did. And as a result, sin entered this life. And so the snake represents for us the fall from time to time. And it represents for us the consequences of our actions. And sometimes we do things that we're not proud of, right? And we wish we could take back. And we have to tell somebody that we're sorry. Have you all ever had to tell anyone you were sorry before? Okay, good. Yeah, me too. From time to time, we've got to do that. So we want to be mindful this morning of all that God has asked of us. And he wants us to follow him and to listen, right? And to do what he asks of us to do. And not to listen to anyone else, but to listen to God only. Okay? All right. Thank you very much. Now, who would you like to give the bag? Who has not had the bag yet that would like the bag? Who hasn't had it yet? All right. Who has had the bag that hasn't had it only once, or has only had it once and would like it? Does anyone want the bag? All right, here you go. All right, you got the bag for next week. All right, let's pray together, okay? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for your love and grace. We thank you for the opportunity we have this day and always to honor you, to worship you. Lord, we thank you for these children, for the opportunity we have to teach and to learn from them. And we pray that you would continue to surround them with your love and grace. Lord, continue to mold them into the men and women that you have created them to be, Lord. And we thank you for the opportunity we have to take part in their lives. We love you, we thank you, we praise you, and ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, you all can go to Children's Church. Yes. I didn't see his password on there, unfortunately.
Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Isaiah 65, 17 through 25. Look, I'm creating a new heaven and a new earth. Past events won't be remembered. They won't come to mind. Be glad and rejoice forever in what I'm creating, because I'm creating Jerusalem as a joy and her people as a source of gladness. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad with my people. No one will ever hear the sound of weeping or crying again. No more babies will live only a few days, or the old fail to live out their days. The one who dies at 100 will be like a young person. The one falling short of 100 will seem cursed. They will build houses and live in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They won't build for others to live in, nor plant for others to eat. Like the days of a tree will be the days of my people. My chosen will make full use of their handiwork. They won't labor in vain nor bear children to a world of horrors, because they will be people blessed by the Lord, they along with their descendants. Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. Wolf and lamb will graze together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox, but the snake, its food will be dust. They won't hurt or destroy at any place on my holy mountain, says the Lord. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Tim. Let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Gracious God, we thank you again so very much for this day, for all that you have given to us, for the reading and the hearing of this, your word. We give you thanks. We pray that you be with the words you have given me to speak this morning. May they be your words and not mine. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to understand. And may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, be faithful and obedient to your call. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Look, I am, says the Lord. This passage that we have read this morning is bookended by these two statements. Look, I am, and says the Lord. We see them in verses 17 and 25. And for some reason, I'm not quite sure why, but maybe there is some sense to it, I've been struck and challenged with this. Look, I am, says the Lord. This week, these words have continued to just kind of ring true for me. I've been challenged this week to look at God a little bit more intently. I've been challenged this week to listen to God a little bit more closely. God in this passage is the one speaking here. Now, Isaiah may be saying the words, he may have written them, but these are straight from God's mouth, and he is the one speaking. These are not the pedantic promises of those seeking our approval, or those seeking votes, or those seeking to tell us what we want to hear. Rather, these words are the steadfast reality of God's presence in our midst. Look, I am, says the Lord. It's all too easy for us to gaze and to draw our attention to the flaws of others. Anyone been guilty of that lately? If you've turned on the news, you've probably been guilty of that from time to time. It's easy for us to gaze at the flaws of those who are running for office, or to gaze at the flaws of those who are on the other side of the issues from us. And this is nothing more than a distraction. Doing this, gazing on others and their flaws, focusing on them, causes us to lose sight of God and to lose sight of what He is doing and what He is up to. Has anyone ever lost sight of God in their life from time to time? And we have to consider and almost kind of find where it is He has gone to since last time we saw Him. Instead of looking at God in wonder, we're often tempted to look at each other in contempt, blaming each other for the rights or the wrongs that are going on, comparing ourselves with each other, despising others that we feel have something that we want or are doing something that we can't stand. It's human nature for us to be caught up in the immediate. It's human nature for us to be caught up in the here and now. And God here in this passage is calling us to glimpse His glory, to set our gaze on Him, to get a glimpse of the new heaven and the new earth He is bringing upon us, to glimpse eternity, to begin to look at things a little bit differently than our nature would tend to allow. When we look solely at I am, when we hear only what He says, we begin to glimpse the glory that we all long for and that we all desperately desire to have. This glory of God's is available now, yet we are often blind or deaf to it. We think if we can just get this to happen or that to happen, things will work out and everything will be okay. And we do that at the detriment of seeing what God is in the midst of doing right now. God is in the midst of a good work right now in your life, in the life of our church, in the lives of the people of Elkton, Kentucky, and around the world. God is in the midst of a good work because God is continuing to redeem His people each and every day. Shame on us for being so distracted with the immediate cares of this world. Take heart this morning. God clearly shows us what His glory looks like here in this passage. He also shows us how we can get a glimpse of it. It's interesting that Isaiah, for all of the wonderful things that he writes, it's fairly simple to comprehend. He almost writes as if God's glory is seen in the mundane. Here's where it is. There's nothing really spectacular about what he's saying, but what is coming up from that is what is spectacular. He's not using imagery that is confusing or hard for us to grasp, but it's fairly common. And there's a beauty in the commonness of it, because God is at work behind that. So I want us this morning to consider what this glory looks like as Isaiah kind of spells it out for us. And not only what the glory looks like, but how we can then begin to see it in our own life. Are we ready? Are we ready for this? Yes, someone's ready. All right. The first thing that God's glory looks like is forgiveness. Ugh. How did we know He was going to start there? He says in verse 17, "Our past transgressions won't be remembered. They will not come to mind." And I know that you're thinking exactly what I was thinking when I first read this, that now I have to start forgiving other people. I have to put those things in the past and not allow them to come to my mind anymore. And what's interesting, again, as I've already mentioned, is that God is the one speaking here. God is making a promise to us that He is going to forgive our past. He is not going to allow what we have done to come back to His mind. God is promising to forgive our past. And so in order to glimpse His glory, what do we think is our obligation and responsibility? It is to forgive those whom we would often rather forget. And how might we begin to do that? God promises to forgive our past, and we owe nothing less to God or to others than to forgive those who have wronged us, to seek forgiveness from those that we have wronged, because we stand on both sides of this. Forgiveness is what the kingdom of God looks like. It's what His glory looks like. It's also how we can begin to glimpse His glory. The second thing is joy. Human sin is no match for God's joy. Amen. Verse 18, he says, "Be glad and rejoice forever in what I'm creating, because I'm creating Jerusalem as a joy and her people as a source of gladness." God's glory is joy personified. It is joy at its absolute height. And God is creating Jerusalem as a joy. He is forming and making us as a people of gladness. So smile. Be glad. I said smile. Yes, you that's frowning, smile. Not only does God forgive us, but He turns our guilt into joy. Does anyone need their guilt turned into joy this morning? He says in verse 19, there will be no more weeping. To glimpse God's glory, we need to rejoice in the Lord. And Paul says, again, to rejoice. Weeping lasts only a night, we're told in Psalm 30, verse 5. But joy comes in the morning. God's glory is forgiveness. It is joy. And these are ways that we experience it. The third thing about God's glory is that it's eternal. And of course, we know that. We are living the full and everlasting lives that he's talking about here in verse 20. But are we aware that eternity has already begun? So often when we talk about God's glory, when we talk about the kingdom of God, when we talk about heaven, we talk about some distant future reality. Man, we hope we get there. And we do that, and when we do that, we fail to recognize the glory that is around us now. We fail to recognize the eternity that we are already living into, and we can already begin to see and to participate in. We who call on the name of Jesus Christ have already begun our everlasting lives. And there's a difference between eternal and everlasting. We don't have eternal life because only God is eternal. Our life is everlasting. When we make that decision to follow Jesus Christ, we have entered into eternity. We have entered into everlasting life. Now, we don't have to wait. It's at our fingertips. Look, I am, says the Lord. As United Methodists, we understand this as sanctification, growing in grace. Learning each and every day more about God, seeing Him more fully, getting not just a glimpse, but beginning to see more of Him as the days go by. To glimpse God's glory, we need to be perfect, as our Heavenly Father is perfect. And that word scares a lot of people. Here's another way to translate Matthew 5:48. Be complete in love as your Heavenly Father is complete in love. Maybe that's a better way for us to see that this morning, that perfection we are going on to. The kingdom of God, His glory, is forgiveness, it is joy, it is eternal, it is fruitful. It is very fruitful. He promises here in verses 22 and 23 that our work will be productive and fruitful. Who wants productive and fruitful work this morning? I venture to guess all of us do. And what is the most frustrating thing about ministry? Is that we don't often see the fruit or the production that we want to see. That's why I love to wash the dishes. Because I can see what has happened. I have been fruitful. I have been productive. The dishes are pretty clean, right? Stop. You can't lie. That's why I like to mow the yard. Because I can see the results of the work that I've done. And ministry is frustrating a lot of times because we don't often see the fruit. And for those of you maybe that are having a hard time seeing the fruit, for those of you today maybe that are having a hard time seeing the product of what God is doing within you, just be a little bit more patient. You're going to see it. It's going to happen. From time to time, we have the opportunity to harvest. From other times, we are the ones planting or watering the seed in someone. So continue to be steadfast as God is steadfast. God's word does not return void, ever. So we can know with confidence that when we are doing His will, it is fruitful. It is God's word and His word alone that saves completely. And we can rest assured in that. To glimpse God's glory, then, we need to be fruitful disciples who love God and who love others and seek to be the fruitful people He has called us to be. God's glory is forgiveness, it is joy, it is eternal, it is fruitful. The fifth thing that we see is that in verse 24 is that God's glory answers prayers and has listening ears. What I like about this passage is that it reverses what we tend to think. We want God to listen, and then we want Him to answer, right? But God is very clear here. He says, I answer and I listen. I answer and I listen. God is so intimately involved in our lives. He is so close to us that He is answering those things that we have yet to ask because He knows us, because He has created us so well. He knows exactly what we desire, exactly what we want, and He is working towards that. To glimpse God's glory, then, we need to turn this around. We need to answer His call and then listen to the hurts of the world. Our nation is hurting right now. There's about 50% of the population that feels they've won. There's about 50% of the population that feels they've lost. And I can tell you right now with 100% certainty that we are all hurt. And we as followers of Jesus Christ need to answer God's call to listen to those who are hurting. To reach across the aisle to those that think differently than we do and to extend the hand of fellowship. Knowing that at the end of the day, all of us want this country to succeed. All of us want people to know Christ. All of us want to see something better every single day. We are not as different as we think. But if we're not willing to answer God's call, then we will not be willing to listen to others. And if we're not willing to listen to others, guess what? They're not going to listen to us. How many of you, when you listen to somebody, you're not listening to what they're saying, you're thinking about how you're going to respond? Every man in here should raise his hands. We are to truly listen to the hurts of others. Not try to fix it, just to be there. Because at the end of the day, Christ is the one who's going to fix everything. It is God's glory that we should be worried about. Nothing more, nothing less. The glory of God is forgiveness. It is joy. It is eternal. It is fruitful. It answers prayers and listens. And finally, God's glory is good. It's good. There's no other way to say it. There's no better way to say it. It is good. We have the reference here to the snake in verse 25, and it reminds us of what is and what was. We have reference to the wolf and the lamb, to the lion and to the ox, and we get a glimpse of what was when God first created this beautiful universe that we reside in, as He first began to fashion and form each and every one of us, and we get a glimpse of what was. was. We can see what is now, and we see that it's less than desirable. It's not quite the good that he intended and that he spoke of when he created his good creation. But we must not forget that God wants to restore his good creation. He wants to redeem it through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Resurrection implies Christ rising from the dead. It implies a resurrection of all humanity, each and every one of us. And it implies a resurrection of the natural world. You'll notice throughout the prophets that anything that affects humanity affects the natural world. Anything that affects the natural world affects us. We are intimately linked together. That's how God created it. That is part of what makes it good. To glimpse God's glory, then, we must affirm and proclaim Christ's resurrection. We must look for the good in everything, knowing that God is there, knowing that God is in the midst, knowing that God is in everything. He is busy. He is at work, and it is a good work. And when we look for the silver line around every single cloud, guess who is there? God. He is there, reassuring us, reminding us that he is in our midst, and that we have but to truly open our eyes and we will see. Look, I am, says the Lord. If that does not comfort you this morning, then I don't know what will. May we look so that we may truly see. May we listen so that we may truly hear. Amen. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are so very thankful for this day that you have given to us. May we be forgiving. May we be joyful. May we continue to seek the eternal. May we answer and listen. May we be fruitful. May we be good. So that you may be glorified. So that people will come to know your love and your grace. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this